if you don't continue to pass on the message of their legacies and of what they've accomplished, the next generation will never know. I think we need to continue to, as we evolve, make sure that those names that were a part of that evolution continue to be relevant.
This is the Creative Sports Podcast.
When you're also still trying to maintain a certain level of professionalism because of the type of people that follow you, you know, via social and stuff. But I think the older I get, the more I'm realizing, like, it's okay to still be yourself. It's okay to still be maybe a little outside of what the professional bubble is when you're discussing topics with your friends outside of the workspace, right?
Cindy Robinson is a former track athlete turned social media star. With stops in the NFL and the Bleacher Report, Robinson now works for ESPN. Part of her role is helping to amplify women's sports.
So first things first, we're going to go to time.is.
Time.is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We're going to go 55.
Okay.
So you got to give it a really good clap.
Okay.
That actually wasn't that bad. That wasn't too bad.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name is Garrett Wright. I want to start out with a big thank you to APM Music for donating the tracks we use on this podcast. Also, a reminder that this podcast is an extension of the sports creative community on Slack. So if you're hearing this and not a member of that community yet, you should head over to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free.
Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Creative Podcast. We are here to celebrate Women's History Month, and we have a very special guest, Cindy Robinson, who is a senior social media specialist for ESPN. Welcome, Cindy, to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I am happy to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to ESPN.
I have been into sports all my life. I've played multiple different sports, ran track in college, and that was the end of my athletic career. And so I knew I still wanted to like work in sports and be around it. And so I went into sports journalism. Like that was the degree I went after, and kind of, I would say, the sense career I went after, but all the internships and jobs that I held always had the social media component in it. And so now I'm full on social media, but a few other places I've worked at, Saints and Pelicans, Bleacher Report, those were both previous to ESPN where I'm at now.
You also do some podcasting yourself. You do Locked On Pac-12. Can I talk about that?
Yeah, I cover the Pac-12 conference, the sports for men and women, for Locked On Pac-12. Talking literally like all the Pac-12 schools, current events happening with the schools, definitely trying to shine some more light on women's sports. So the coverage has been more inclusive to women's basketball this season. I've taken a little break, just a slight one, trying to figure out some things with the new job and, you know, juggling it all. It gets tough. But yes, that is the podcast that I host.
And prior to that, you and another mutual friend of ours have another podcast that you kind of it's in the off season right now.
It's been the off season for a minute now. Scoop. The scoop with Cindy and Coop, Candace Cooper, one of my very close friends that I met in New Orleans, and we've been super close ever since. We plan on bringing it back at some point. I think we're going to revamp it to be more loose and like more of our personalities, less about sports, unless that's just something we want to talk about. But I think we'll do more everyday topics and being a woman in sports, just random stuff, talking about dating, social media, the same stuff you see on social media. I think that's what we would like to ideally have a podcast on, like our girl talks, you know. There's a lot of podcasts out like that, but I do think we both have really big personalities. It's just hard, I think, when you're also still trying to maintain a certain level of professionalism because of the type of people that follow you, you know, via social and stuff. But I think the older I get, the more I'm realizing, like, it's okay to still be yourself. It's okay to, you know, still be maybe a little outside of what the professional bubble is when you're discussing topics with your friends outside of the workspace, right?
Yourself, as well as Candace, two African-American women who are both former athletes, work in sports, but you also have the burden of being, you know, a Black woman in the space. Kind of talk about your experience with that, and has it been a healthy one? Has it been, you know, kind of, you know, depends on which place you're at? Or is that something that's, you know, day-to-day depends on, you know?
I will say the best way to describe that is depends on place in some aspects, but I think more so people that you're working with on a day-to-day. There are some people that champion women in this space and make sure that they contribute to giving a woman's a voice in this space and listening to that voice. And there are some people who, I don't know if they even do it intentionally, but, you know, can be kind of cold and tougher to get into, I would say. But the one thing about being a Black woman in this space is, like, you know what you're getting into, in a sense, and you kind of just have this resilient mindset that, like, that's not going to stop me from accomplishing what I want to accomplish. And that comes from competitive nature, from being an athlete, you know? So it's okay when things hit you, roadblocks come your way. People are your roadblocks at times. I just try to find a way around it or work through it, you know, because it's not going to stop my bag. So, you know.
As I said at the top, this is Women's History Month. And yes, we'd like to take this time to not only give our roses and flowers to different women in the sports industry, more specifically the sports creative industry, and social is a part of that. What are your feelings on Women's History Month, and who are some women who you like to see celebrated during this month?
Ooh, that is a good question. Also a tough question. I think that there are so many great women that don't get the shine on a regular basis. Like, I think one thing I love about what sports is evolving into is that there are so many women that are loud about being in the space, right? That, like, command the attention by the work that they do. Not necessarily loud, like, look at me. It's like loud, like, you can't ignore their work, you know? And those are the Maria Taylors, the Taylor Rooks, the Ari Ivories, well, Ari Chambers, sorry. I'm so used to her Instagram name, her Twitter name, Ari Ivory. But Ari Chambers, right, of the world, you see their faces. They're prominent in, you know, the sports space, and they've gained the respect that, like, good, we want to see more of that. But there's also, like, so many more that, like, if you're following WNBA Twitter, if you're following NBA Twitter, if you're following esports, you know, even NFL, like, there's so many women in those spaces that, like, a lot of times are overlooked because they're in the background, right? Or they're a part of a social team, a part of a photography team, a part of a digital, you know, graphic design team, that they're not always at the forefront for you to know, to give them their spaces. And I think, luckily for me, just how I met you, you know, working in this creative space, I've met so many other amazing women that are doing some great stuff, you know, Kelsey Miller, Candace Cooper, obviously, Chanel, like, there's so many names. I could go on. Kalina, Naya, Delon, like, you know, those are names that just in our circle immediately that I would love to see get more shine, just because they work so hard, tirelessly, and they're not necessarily looking for the attention as much as they're just wanting the respect in the field, right? And the same opportunities that are, you know, afforded to other colleagues, you know, because they're popular, whatever the case may be. So I would love to just see the smaller names, quote unquote, I can't see me right now, but I'm putting little air quotes up, the smaller names get those, you know, moments of attention and shine and respect.
And as we navigate through this month, and obviously through this episode of podcast, how important is it for us to continue to do this? Last month we celebrated Black History Month. This month we're doing Women's History Month, just spotlighting groups of people, not you know, the traditional struggle and all that, but more of the celebrating history makers of people who are first, people who are even in the top five of women who are doing that, hitting milestones every day. How important is it for us to continue to do that?
I think it's very important, because if you don't continue to pass on the message of their legacies and of what they've accomplished, the next generation will never know, you know? And I think we need to continue to, as we evolve, make sure that those names that were a part of that evolution continue to be relevant, even when they're done and gone from the field. I think the people that are coming after them should still know, like, who was involved and how they contributed to making a space for the next generation, you know? So I think it's just important too, because while a lot of people could be, you know, humble and not necessarily be looking for a pat on the back, no one's ever saying that pat on the back hurt, you know what I mean? Like, if anything, the pat on the back makes it feel like all the world, all more worthwhile. Like, I did this and someone recognized it, and I appreciate that at the end of the day. So I definitely think that recognizing and honoring women who are paving the way for other women in these spaces is extremely important. And it's also important for people to know that, like, this isn't just male dominated spaces anymore. You know, women are starting to really, like, dive in and be game changers and make some drastic changes that we probably never see men be able to do. Okay. So I'm not slighting any of the men that have pioneered, you know, major moments in sports at all, but, like, there are some amazing women that definitely still, in my opinion, don't get enough shine. So yes, keep the Women History Month coming, keep honoring the women who have paved the way for women like me, women to come. And yeah, it's very important. You can't forget women.
Thank you. So let's get into a deeper dive of what you do and what you've done in your career. Obviously, you work for some really top brands. You work for the New Orleans Saints, worked at the Bleacher Report, and now ESPN. How important is it for, well, talk about your experience working at those three entities.
Working with the New Orleans Saints and Pelicans was a really great opportunity to work in two sports at once. It was a very hectic time, and one of those, like, okay, you know, this is kind of, I won't say it was my first intro into sports, because I've interned and worked with some, like, big names as well. But I think this was, like, the first full-time job that I moved from California to take and kind of embark on. Some of my best moments were, like, you know, working with the team and, like, being able to highlight players in different light than what we would normally see them just on the field in the court, and, you know, giving the fans and the audience a different side of them. That's probably, like, my favorite part about working in sports, is, like, being able to do storytelling outside of the box, in a sense. Overall, the experience was great. Obviously, you have your growing pains with being a woman working for a sports team, but that's just, like, one part of the coin. Like, at the end of the day, I feel like what I took away from working with those teams helped me to, like, pivot to the next level. And so working for a Bleacher Report, like, I already had the experience of working, you know, covering multiple major teams at once, multiple major sports at once. And Bleacher Report was even bigger, in a sense of, like, you had to know even more sports, you know, and you had to be even more immersed. And it was different in a sense. I'm not in the field actually working directly with players and stuff, but, like, I'm sending out these notifications to make sure that we're engaging fans in our app and making sure that people are getting the proper news, but also finding ways to still bring those different storytelling aspects. And then working with ESPN has been a little different, because I'm in a more, like, senior role, in a sense. I have direct reports now, right? And so not only my career matters, the development of someone else's career matters as well. So it's been a great experience of, like, you know, just advancing in your career, but still being in the sports world and being able to tell stories. I'm currently leading the coverage of women's college basketball. And so now that we're getting into conference championships, it's a lot, but planning social strategy from start to finish and making sure that everyone executes properly. Like, it's a different space, but I like it because I have more hands-on in the day, like coverage and how we actually are able to portray these women.
I'm going to rewind a bit and ask kind of a two-part question. Now that you are in a senior role and you've probably worked for other women who opened the door for you or left the door open, how important is that? But part two of that question is, how important is it for you also to have male champions to also open and give opportunities to women in this field?
This is actually my first time having a woman as my manager or being over me in any capacity at ESPN. And my current manager is great now. Our VP is a woman as well. And so I think having those voices in the room, they can relate to you in more ways than what a man can, right? You can tell a man over and over the things you've been through, the things you've experienced, but those women more times than likely have experienced the same thing as you working in this industry. And so they're very understanding of, like, you know, when you want to talk about something or how to work through something, whatever, they've been there before, they've done it as well. So that's actually been great. I feel like I have been in spaces where a lot of people, like younger people, will reach out to me for advice, for career help, for like passing along resumes. And I always tell people I'm never above doing that, because I remember when I was diving into DMs, trying to get attention, trying to, you know, land that job. Sometimes I still do it. If I'm looking for a new job, you know, and I need to connect with somebody I don't know, like, I'll still go back to that. But it's very important to have women in your corner in these spaces, because I don't like the idea of being so competitive against women, right? Because I feel like there's space for all of us. The problem is that we're kind of put against each other when people don't want to have a quota of the women that they hire, right? They don't need all these women. They don't need all these women in the spotlight, et cetera, et cetera. And I just think that's not realistic. I think what needs to happen is there needs to be more spaces for women so that there doesn't need to be that competition. A healthy competition is nothing wrong with that, but like competing in a sense where it becomes malicious and stuff is kind of pointless. And so I try to be very positive and helpful when I come across young women, women my age, women older than me. You know, I'm always just trying to have a more positive dialogue with those women and like have a respect level there. As far as having men champion, I think it's very important too, because a lot of times men's voices are heard before a woman's is, unfortunately. And so when we talk about having allies and, you know, people being actual helpful in the room, if imagine no man speaks up for a woman, you know, in certain rooms, then we don't really see women advance like they should. I definitely think it's important to have men advocating for you in the right way too, because please, y'all, don't let men out there, don't be predators. Don't see that as an opportunity for you to like shoot your shot and stuff. I ain't never really mad at you shooting your shot, but once it's denied, let it go, okay? Let it go. Because it's the worst thing in the world for a woman to feel like I have to entertain this person just so I can get further in my career. No one wants to climb their way to the top, sleeping, you know, their way through it, especially if it's making them uncomfortable. And so I've seen a lot of women leave this industry because they feel like that's the only way that they could do it. And they just aren't willing to compromise. And I don't blame them, because I'm not willing to do that either. Like, I'm not sleeping my way to the top. And if it doesn't work, you know, organically, then it's not for me. So that can be very frustrating dealing with men in this industry, but the men that genuinely have your back, like you, like the men that, you know, we know from our group of our circle of friends that we've met in this creative space, like, it's amazing to see how y'all genuinely will have our back, give us good advice about how to maneuver in certain situations, how to deal with certain men that may not have the same energy that you all have, you know? So there's so many different layers to that, but it's very important to have men in your corner advocating for you, speaking highly of you, pushing your content out there, like promoting you as much as you promote them, and just having those relationships. I hope that wasn't a lot. I think it was a lot, but I mean, you know, we're here to talk. I'm sorry.
No, that was actually good, because I think that there is a misconception in a lot of areas that if men are supporting or helping or hyping up, you know, people who they know in the industry trying to help push forward. The way that I look at it is there's enough space in every arena for all of us, men, women, white, black, whatever race, it's enough space in there for everyone, right? And so you brought up the competition factor amongst women. It's also like that for, you know, men and women. It's really unnecessary in a sense, because if you are qualified to do a job, it doesn't matter, you know, who or what you are. Mm-hmm. You're qualified to do the job. For our men out there, please continue to champion, as Cindy said, in the, you know, with the right intents to uplift women, because there are a lot of amazing women out here doing great things, whether it's videography, graphic design, social media, whatever creative realm there is, there's space for all of us to help do our part in uplifting everyone. What's been your most favorite thing about working in sports, and what's been your least favorite?
My most favorite thing, I think being able to witness some historical moments in sports and like literally being right there on the court, on the field for them. I was at Drew Brees, I want to say when he broke the record for most yards, I think. Look, I'm terrible. I'm over here talking about history and can't even remember exactly what it was. But I still got footage from that. Like, you know, those are just like, it was really cool to say like I was a part of that in a sense of working and covering it for our social channels at the time, you know, for the Saints. So that was great. Like experiencing the Pelicans sweeping Portland in the first round of playoffs. Like that was amazing. Yeah, I like the in-person moments, because for me, it's always been like, I've always been like this about sports. Like I would rather play or attend a game in person than watch at home. And obviously working in sports, you get used to watching on TV, right? But that gets mundane. That's the everyday life. You know, that's not really in the mix of it all, you know, but like seeing that type of action up close and just being a part of those like moments, that's probably been the best part. The least favorite, late nights and weekends and holidays that you got to work. Like the sacrifice to work in this industry is ridiculous. I think people don't realize what it takes, so they think it's such a cool job. I mean, they even just hear the company you work for, they think it's such a cool job, and they don't know you could be the janitor and they'd be like, you work for ESPN? Who? Like, you know, and it's a lot more to it. It really is. Nothing wrong with being a janitor, by the way. I'm sorry about saying it like that. I'm just saying, like, you know, people don't even care. They care more about the name of where you're working versus what you actually do and stuff. And so I think my friends knew I grew up wanting, well, not grew up, but like going through college, wanted to be on camera, you know, that type of stuff. So when they hear you get a new job, they assume like that's what you're going to do. I'm like, no, I still get questions like, when I'm gonna see you on TV? I'm like, I don't even do that no more. Like, and I'm not ruling it out in the future of life. You know, you never know what can happen, but that's just like not where I'm at right now. So it's like, come on now, learn your friend now. But yeah, the late nights, sacrificing like family holidays and birthdays and missing out on big moments with friends, like that is the toughest part of this. And I want to say it's rewarding it enough to where you feel like it's worth it. But sometimes I question even if it's worth it, because those moments you can't get back, right? And sometimes working in sports can be so frustrating that you're like, I'm giving up a lot to be here, and this isn't even always, you know, my favorite space. So you do need to know if you want to work in this industry, it's huge sacrifices. And I think that's in a lot of industries, you know, you're going to sacrifice something to be successful. You just have to decide if it's worth it for you.
All right. We've talked about your career. We've talked about where you've been. Mm-hmm. We talked about you championing other women and people having championed you. What advice, now that you have been in the industry for enough years to be middle-aged OG. What is some advice that you like to give people who ask for it, who would like to follow in your footsteps or go on a similar path as you?
One advice I would say that I actually saw on LinkedIn, and I was like, that is the perfect words for how I feel. Do not chase a brand name. Like, I know we talk about how good it is to have certain names on your resume and all of that, but I think it's very important for you to do your research before accepting a job or before even applying towards a job. Like, find people who work there, get their experiences. Hopefully you know somebody that works there. That's even better because they'll give you the real experience. Like, you really need to be mindful of what you're getting into when going into some spaces, because some spaces could be a big name and they're not the greatest spaces for you to be at, you know? And I'm not saying that that's my experience now. I'm just saying, like, speaking on behalf of knowing people and all of that, et cetera, et cetera. Do your research. Don't be afraid to reach out to people when you apply to places, but also don't be so forward in a sense of like expecting someone to do something for you and they don't even know you. Like, I personally don't care about that when I get hit up on LinkedIn, but I know a lot of people feel like it's really abrasive and they would rather you like try to gain a relationship with them or ask them about their experience. Like, there's roundabout ways to go about it without saying, can you pass my resume along? Like, that's not necessarily, that doesn't work for everybody. And so I would think to say, to be a little more like, hi, could you tell me more about your experience at this position, et cetera, et cetera. And then if you work up, you know, a rapport, you can probably ask, like, would you mind sliding my resume or taking a look at my resume and giving me some pointers on it? Seek out a mentor. I think that's huge. I think right now I still feel like I'm in a space where I don't have a concrete mentor, but I think I have a lot of old, like, you know, friends that are older that have been in these spaces long enough that I can go to them for advice. So it's helpful. But if you can get a mentor, someone you can check in with regularly, get advice from, someone that can hold you accountable to like the goals that you know, write down for yourself, that would be great, because a lot of times they can help you in the right path, direction, all of that, et cetera. Learn as many things as you can. I think a lot of people try to put us in a box and be like, you need to hone in on one thing and, you know, be an expert at that. And it's like, that's great and all, but the more things that you know how to do in this space, the more opportunities open up for you. And you don't necessarily, like, a lot of people in our spaces now will have a full-time job and will freelance on the side and will do et cetera, and start their own, you know, creative services firm. Like, there's so many more opportunities for you when you know how to do more and you become more valuable to more people. So your network expands, your net worth expands. Okay. Don't be afraid to jump into a position. If you're really desperate to like get into this field, don't be afraid to jump into a position that may not be ideally where you want to be, but use that as a stepping stone to get to where you want to be. So a lot of times it's about making the right connections, and people hop departments all the time in, you know, when they start at companies. So it's endless opportunities. Yes. I could probably go on and on all day with more advice, but more than anything, make sure that you're enjoying it. And yeah, because there, like I said, a lot of sacrifice goes into this job. So if you're not enjoying it, it's going to be miserable for you. And I ain't gonna lie, like, the pay is amazing. Depending on where you at, it can be, but sometimes, a lot of the times, it ain't all that. So you really got to make sure you're doing it because you love it.
That's some sound advice and a lot of advice.
You know,
some people usually only give one little tip.
Well, you didn't specify, you know.
No, that was great.
I'm trying to make the most of my episode, okay?
I like that you gave multiple, because all of it is very necessary. And a lot of times we try to sugarcoat or skirt around.
I still sugarcoat advice. It a little bit. I still sugarcoat.
No, you hit it where it needed to be. you were direct enough, because you know, people look at brands or they look at jobs and they say, oh, that has to be amazing. But they don't understand that on the surface, there's one thing, but once you peel that back, there are a lot of more things that you may not have known happens in these buildings, in these fields.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of people who will do one or two things, right? They'll let it get to them and run the other way because, oh, I didn't know that this was this.
Right.
And you'll have some people who say, you know what? If I really want this, then I'll fight through it. There's some balance in that. Like sometimes,
yeah.
you need to pack it up and go. But sometimes you have to stick it out and learn more about the things around you, not just the thing that applies to the job that you are assigned to do. So,
yep.
You mentioned learning more things.
Yeah.
And getting good at, a bunch of things, but it's also important to learn what people around you who have nothing to do with your job do.
Yeah.
And you will become better at your job and they will learn how to work better with you. And you'll know how to help them become better at their job to help you in all that.
For sure.
I always like to, as someone who grew up in a household full of women, I always like to celebrate women any chance that I get. And for us to do this for Women's History Month, my favorite month of the year because it's my birthday month.
Yeah, we know.
You've been in the industry for a bit. Looking forward, where would you like to see an improvement here in the next 2 to 5 years in the sports creative and sports industry as a whole, as it relates to women?
I want to see more women in the executive spaces. I want to see more diversity of women, not just, dare I say it, white women only. And there's nothing wrong with white women. I love I love all women. I am championing everybody, but I do want to see more diverse faces in those spaces to where it feels like there's room for people that look like me, people that look like, other people that are of other ethnicities, like to advance. I think that sports is one of those things that bring together a melting pot of people. And so the offices and the people who are making major decisions should reflect that. I want to see less criticism of women in these spaces as well, and trying to push women out with those sad comments of like, you don't know sports, all of that. Like, it's old, it's tired. Like, at the end of the day, most of the women that are in these spaces know what they're talking about, know more sports than most of the average fan. Like, I don't need to know the stats from 1955 to tell you I know basketball today, So, stop being overly critical of women, because you would not do that to some of these men, and some of them make bigger mistakes than the women do. And I, more than anything, I want women to feel more confident in these spaces. Like, you're here. I know imposter syndrome is a huge thing, because I have it too. And we have to second guess ourselves a lot less and walk in with the confidence that we know we belong there, because if we don't believe it, the next person's not going to believe it. So be more confident, ladies. You belong where you're at. And if you're not there yet, you belong there. It's coming. But yeah, just make sure you continue to work on being more confident and being a strong woman.
We're going to end this with a few questions.
Oh, God.
Most importantly, one of my favorites is, what's your why or drive behind why you do what you do?
Honestly, it's probably evolved a little bit, but it started off with like wanting to storytell, because I was an athlete and I had athlete friends that would complain about talking to the media and the media twisting their words around and stuff. And so I felt like I wanted to be that type of advocate in a sense, coming from a space of knowing and understanding, because I was an athlete as well. And now I think being a minority and all of that is starting to matter even more in these spaces, and that's pushing me more, to see more people who look like me in these spaces, and knowing that there's so many women who are trying to get there and are striving to get there. So it's like encouraging to keep pushing in that sense.
Next question. Who's a woman that has inspired you to continue to grow in this field or even be interested, or who are some women that you have really paid attention to make you want to be in this field?
I feel like it's very obvious, especially coming from like a journalism standpoint, the OG names that, you know, we always throw out there. They still definitely have had a huge, you know, part in, you know, me pushing or whatever. But I think more than anything, as I get older, I appreciate those people that are like my peers now, right? My current manager, Kayla, she's amazing. She's championing women in our spaces and pushing for our voices often. Our VP, Katie, my friends, Meredith, for those of you that know her as Minx, she's amazing. She's always just like the most humble, positive person, and is like really talented photographer, social media person. There's plenty of women in the WNBA space that I'm like starting to dive into more now, and just seeing how like they've helped advance the sport and are continue to help advance the sport. Super inspiring. Obviously, like my friends I mentioned earlier, Candace, Kelsey, Chanel, Kalina, Naya, Delon, like all of them are doing great things in their respective spaces of this industry. And it's like hard to ignore just, you know, their talent and everything that they bring to this space. Who else? I mean, my mom and my grandma, because I grew up in a all women household, and like, you know, definitely always had them in my corner pushing me. And so to see like me succeeding is like, you know, them succeeding in raising me and, you know, getting me to where I am today. That's a lot of people I just named right now. So, but yeah, shout out to the OGs, you know, Kerry Champion, Jamel Hugh, Agent Nicole Wynn, even her, like, you know, all of them. So, yeah.
Cindy, thank you for joining us, and thank you for blessing us with all of the advice, gems, not only for young girls and young ladies, for other creatives and people in the sporting industry as we try to navigate around the space, to share the space, because for so long it's been such a male dominant or male only industry where it's cool to have different people around you, different people from different backgrounds, people from, you know, men, women, different races, a lot of different people. I've always thought can help expand what we do, because if you're just doing the same things over and over, highlighting the same people, then you're not growing. And this, you know, we haven't even reached halfway to the ceiling on what our capabilities are in the sporting industry. So thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you do, and many blessings and good luck to everything that you'll do in the future, because you are the future and you are a part of history.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. You're so kind.
You are in that next wave of people who will take the torch and take it to the next level, whether it's in social, whether it's in hosting, reporting, creative, video, graphic design, whatever it is, the next wave is coming, and it's a big one. So thank you, Cindy Robinson, and join us for the rest of this month as we highlight women in the sporting industry, most notably people in the sports creative and social industry. So catch us next week on the Sports Creative Podcast.
Thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the Sports Creative community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're enjoying this podcast, we'd love it if you shared it with a friend or a coworker, and leave us a 5-star rating so other people will be able to find us as well. And don't forget to subscribe so that you're the first person to catch each new episode. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.